Well, welcome to Tangible Takeaways, episode 140. And today I'm going to talk about how we should work in hope in spite of our current world, the way that our world looks right now.
My name is Pastor Todd. I'm going to talk today a little bit about the idea of how great it is to lead a group of people who are obeying the Lord.
Yeah, all of that and more on this episode of Tangible Takeaways. Well, hey, thank you for joining us for Tangible Takeaways. Clearly, I am not Jackson. My name's Carlos. I'm the student director over at Hesperia Campus, and I am so humbled to be able to hang out here with Pastor Todd. We're going to be going through that passage today in Haggai. Pastor Todd, are you excited for this?
I am, yeah. I love this series, and it was a really fun opportunity to get to preach this book.
Absolutely. It's been an amazing series. But I do have to start off with some serious business here. So
yes.
just before we jump into this,
pause on this.
Okay. This might be your first time recording and being able to talk about the Dodgers winning the World Series, right?
Yes. And I will tell you, in my brain, there was a lot of restraint this weekend because I wanted to kind of get into that space, celebrate a bit. But the restraint was caused by, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this, not everyone at High Desert Church is a Dodger fan.
That is shocking and troubling at the same time.
Absolutely, like, of concern. So we've got work to do. No, but man, it was so great. And I loved... just the idea that 2020 season seemed to have an asterisk to it in a lot of ways.
Right.
But to see these guys, not just kind of full season win, but even like, oh, we get a parade, you know, and how cool is that? So I was home on Friday, got to watch that and even their stadium kind of entrance a little bit. And
right.
I just feel like they overcame a ton of adversity,
right,
which I think any team that gets to the end of a World Series probably does.
Right.
But I also, it was really interesting. Normally, you know, you're watching different players can't think enough about Freddie Freeman, working through adversity.
Right.
But for a weird reason, and maybe it's just kind of my role at HGC, I was watching Dave Roberts a lot.
Oh, nice.
And probably the sweetest, powerful, most powerful moment was when he came up in game, would have been 5, to Blake Treinen, who was going the distance. He went 7 outs, which normally is a guy who does 3. But like, you okay?
Yeah.
You got it? And he's like, I got it. And did awesome to finish out the game or that inning. So anyway, so I just thought, man, what a good example of a good leader,
right,
of great athletes. And I get to be a leader of great ministry team.
Yeah.
And I love that. So it was just fun watching.
That's awesome.
Through his
That's
lens.
Awesome. I had to bring it up.
It's
of course.
Good. I'm, you know, so glad you
we
did.
We had to start on the porty stuff, but you know, but I thought, you know, the reason I did also bring it up, because I thought it's just a good segue into this idea of, like, especially in our passage that we jumped into in Haggai, where, you know, you have this guy, this prophet, you know, preaching to God's people to kind of rally around this rallying cry, you know, when it comes to, you know, rebuilding, you know, God's temple. And so as you were kind of walking through, you know, Haggai, you know, obviously it's not, a lot of chapters or a big book. What were some things that, like, you know, stood out, you know, as far as your study, as you're preparing to go through this passage, you know, obviously things that you reflected upon as you were you know, preparing for the message?
Yeah, for sure. I really, like I said, I've really loved this whole series, and probably the thing, and as I've talked to folks, they've been surprised by certain things, like, oh, I didn't know about this, or oh, I thought, you know, I see this thread, this theme. I think for me, the one I see every week, even when I'm not preaching, but I'm listening to our team preach, is that it's almost like if they're, you know, they'll talk to sometimes about a diamond has all these different cuts, and you have to look at it from all the different angles to get the full appreciation.
Oh, I love that.
That's what I feel like the minor prophets have been, and what is the diamond is the character of God.
Right.
That's all from Hosea to Malachi. It's all the same God.
Right.
That is giving these words, and that the prophets are speaking. But it's almost like each one reflects his character in kind of a different way. And I've loved that. It's almost in a weird way I walk away going, I think we've had a study in the character and the ways of God by walking through the minor prophets, which are filled with a lot of judgment. I mean, it's not necessarily all rosy, but you're just seeing aspects of God that aren't just his justice, but his mercy and his patience. And so I think for the book of Haggai, when I was going through, like, we tried to start out the message making a big deal. These guys actually get it right.
Right.
Most everybody else doesn't. They're hard-hearted and stay hard-hearted, don't respond to the prophets. And that's why even Jesus will say later, your ancestors killed the prophets.
Right.
You know? And, like, you guys had nothing to do when God said, this is how it needs to be. You're like, no, not going to pay attention to that. So you got to love that about Haggai. And I just think one of the things that's really interesting, just very, very small but interesting, is that some of the prophets have told us a little bit about themselves, or at least said son of, told us about their family line. literally Haggai the prophet, Haggai the prophet, Haggai. That's it. That's all we ever know him. And it's interesting how Zechariah, mm-hmm. who Pastor Tom's going to be speaking about this week,
right.
it says he's the descendant of Edo. Like, it always gives some context to Zechariah right. in Haggai's book,
right.
which is really weird. Like, right. not like, even your book, but right. we're talking about you. But I just thought it was, I guess, in the book of Ezra. But my point is, I just think it's interesting that we literally know nothing about him
right.
except for maybe that one idea that he was probably older mm-hmm. and had seen the former temple.
Right.
So I just think as even prophets self-disclose about their own lives or aspects of who they are, he gives us really nothing.
Right.
But in some ways, that's actually really pure as well, because, again, the mouthpiece
right.
wasn't the message. The message came from God on high.
Exactly.
And that's what I think he wanted to keep the focus on, is like, let's keep bringing this front and center. You have dishonored and you've been misaligned
right.
with God's priorities, making it all about you.
Exactly.
And so, and again, the beauty is not only does that, those words of confrontation come,
right.
but the great news is they do lead to repentance.
Exactly. And speaking of that, like, I love this idea that, you know, God's word basically, you know, comes out and has, you know, Haggai come out and kind of confront God's people, right? To this idea of, like, when you brought it up about this paneling, like, you're building your house with these panels, right? And yet the, you know, God's house lays in ruin.
Mm.
And I think that's such a good, you know, application point for us as followers of Christ, you know, how, you know, we can kind of become self-consumed with our own, you know, our own house, right, necessarily, or in our own little bubbles, comparative to what we view as the Big C church, you know mm. what I mean? And so when we view it in the context of, like, him trying to kind of turn our necks back to what's important, right, mm. I found that really applicable as I was kind of, you know, studying through it, and then, you know, you're preaching on it. Are there any, like, current, you know, things that you'd say modern times that, you know, you see people struggle with things as far as, like, you know, self, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to take care of me and mine, and kind of, you know, ignore, necessarily see big church sometimes. Have you yeah. recognized any of that? You know,
yeah. as far as, no, it's a great question. It's almost like, what are the current panels?
Right.
You know, what do those relate to?
Right.
Well, I think it comes down to, it is, like you talked about, not only a self-centeredness, but a self-delusion.
Mm.
Like, I begin to think that these things in my life,
right.
or even these things as a church, are more important than the clear things that God has said matters most.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think about that, and I kind of go, maybe I'll just look at my life, where I might begin to think that even the use of my time
right.
might be mine,
mm-hmm.
right? And I do what I do at the church, and then I've got clear boundaries, I'm off here. And while there's good things about, you know, how I do work and how I do rest and how I'm with my family, it's fascinating, though, sometimes are those things being derived and decided
mm.
by, at the end of the day, what suits me best
right.
or what, well, there are some needs around right. me that, am I going to be flexible enough to do that? Am I going to kind of order my day in such a way that makes it clear from God's word
right.
versus, well, but I really like this, or I really, you know, and it can just be that subtle in just the ordering of days.
Right.
I really feel like it really affects us as well. Like, it's, I thought it was fascinating. The big application point for me was their repentance cost them something.
Right.
It was a change in the way they used their time, to this
right.
example. It was a change in the way they use their resources.
Exactly.
Because now all of a sudden I don't have enough daylight to panel my house, or, you know, it's like, again, it's not having a house wasn't the problem, but it was like, I'm making my house extra,
right,
right, when God's house is a pile of rock.
Right.
So the reality is, I wasn't of daylight in the day. There weren't enough dollars per se in the bank to do my project and God's.
Mm.
I needed to prioritize his first,
right,
and this has to set aside. And right. I think sometimes the reason we're so scared to do that is that really, and I talk to people all the time about
sure.
tithing, about giving, and it keeps coming back to, is there going to be enough, though?
Right.
Like, if I'm obedient to God first, will there be enough
mm.
for me, for our family?
Right.
And I just have loved, Pastor Tom's done such a great job for nearly 40 years talking about these realities of how we can, at the end of the day,
mm.
stewardship and living as a manager, not an owner, really is about, do I trust God
right.
for his provision?
Right.
If I live it his way, which he's made it very clear in his word, a couple of weeks from now, we'll finish the series in Malachi.
Right.
Malachi has a ton to say about prioritize first,
mm-hmm.
the obedience, the first fruits of what I've commanded you, and watch me
right.
open the doors of heaven and bless you. So I just think, and I had a great conversation. I'm sorry, I'll sidetrack a little bit.
No, you're good.
Great conversation with a guy this last week who is doing Rooted right now. And I was with our Rooted group to talk about stewardship a couple weeks ago. And I just loved what he said. He said, you know, that is the challenge. I feel like it's a trust thing. And is God going to provide enough? And it was like people had told me, I didn't say this, but people had told me to him that that even as you give, God has ways you never even would have considered of how he's still going to take care of you. That might not be your 9 to 5, right, might not be from a salary or paycheck, but other ways. And he's like, just this week, one of those quote weird checks came in the mail that was like from a settlement from a class action suit or something. I mean, it was like nothing. And it wasn't necessarily huge, but it was just that great tangible. I never even considered that.
Right.
And here's God's provision. So I just feel like that's what the people that are being spoken to by Haggai, by God through Haggai, ultimately had to come to the realization of, can I trust God for whatever I think is important to come second,
right,
if I prioritize him first?
Yeah, you know, and I love that. And I love that, you know, even in your message, how you talked about, you know, these people are exiled for so long. And, you know, you had this double generation, right? There's two generations, I would say. Well, one that, you know, was part of the exile, but they had seen the original temple, right? Mm-hmm. Which is just a beautiful thing to think, to imagine that you had, you know, you were able to see that. And then them, you know, the Persians come over, you know, take over the Babylonians. And then the Persians are like, yeah, sure, you know, you can worship your God. We don't care. You're just going to be under our rule. And go ahead, build your second temple.
Mm-hmm.
And how you have this contrast now of like, you have these two generations of pre, you know, they saw the temple, and then this post that had never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they walk back, and you can imagine just that visual of seeing just the foundation of the previous temple and what that looked like. And just when you were speaking, it kind of reminded me, and I hate talking about the COVID times, right? It's not always our funnest topic, but you know, there certainly was a generation that was, you know, here, even for our church at HCC, that was pre-COVID, that remembered what was once. And then obviously they came back, and you had this new generation that is just showing up to church for the first time, and they're excited about what is happening, what's going on in the church. You know, they're re-engaging their faith. So it's almost like, it almost kind of was comparative to me as I'm listening to you preach. And I thought, wow, how relative that is to today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, because you said, you know, always in your messages, you know, Todd 1.0 and then Todd 2.0, mm-hmm, you've kind of seen both sides of the coin there, right?
Yeah, no, and I think that, what a great analogy. I love that your God just put that on your brain and you saw, because I think that's a great way to think of when you have these two groups of people. They may or may not be equal amounts, but the point is they have two very different perspectives, right?
Yeah.
And all the things that were true of HDC pre-COVID and programs we were doing, staff we had and all,
right,
those things.
Right.
And then to come back from that and go, rightly so, oh, we're rebuilding. Like there's, right, things that are going to take some time to just kind of be in that area of health and growth that it was before.
Sure.
And there's probably a degree of even lamenting that, like, oh, yeah, it's a bummer.
Right.
But then for those, like you said, that are new to HCC, it's like, whoa, this is so great. And I love what God's teaching me. I love the way I'm getting in community with people. I mean, all these things that a church should be.
Right.
And they're the rejoicing ones. And so, yeah, to have these two very mixed groups emotionally, all the emotions are valid,
sure,
and they're all going on at once. And, right, like the thing in Ezra is so powerful. There's so much noise. You couldn't tell who was crying and who was rejoicing, you know, and
right,
very, I just love it. It's a great application to what we're kind of still walking in.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. And it reminded me of the passage in Mark where Jesus is teaching a parable to those. And he's saying, you know, a man who puts, you know, his hands on a plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom, you know. And I think sometimes, and I say that, you know, even to my own faults, that, you know, I'm constantly looking back at what once was, right, even through student ministries or different type of ministry, comparative to like what God is doing now, right. Mm-hmm. And I think we can be guilty, all of us can be guilty of that sometimes. And we should really, you know, stay focused on what God, you know, has called us to, you know, for his kingdom. So I love that. Mm-hmm. And in your message, you talked about, you know, the importance of identifying what cannot be shaken in your life, right? Like, mm-hmm, this idea of, like, you know, understanding like those two things, that there are certain things that are going to be shaken no matter what, and those things that are just foundational truths in that. And so I really appreciated, you know, obviously this weekend's message. And, you know, we're in the middle of, obviously, you know, an election season, and, you know, so many things going on in our world. And If, you know, as far as that is, you know, when you're reminding, when you're going through this passage, you know, when you see, you know, that the prophet Haggai is reminding God's people that, you know, God is still sovereign, God is still in control. What was, you know, your, you know, takeaway from that? Like, as far as with everything going on in our world, and you even kind of had a funny comment where you said, hey, I offended basically everybody in the church.
Yeah, we didn't leave anybody out.
We didn't leave anybody out, right? You took everyone on there, and I thought, I was like, oh man, you know, what a great way to kind of look at that. And I thought, you know, man, like, you know, so what were your thoughts behind that? You know what I mean? Just seeing, knowing that we're in that current phase right now where, you know, reminding people of don't lose hope, because.
Yeah. And you're right. And our encouragement as a church to our people is, don't have hope in hope.
Right.
Don't lose hope because of you have this rock solid, not just relationship, but even promises from God that are all given to us in the gospel for this life and the life to come. So, I mean, and, you know, we'll say this today, we're filming on election day.
We are.
You know, you'll be watching this beyond the election and beyond that. But we are right in that still space. We're filming Tuesday morning, so the election stuff's going on right now. Things will probably be more clear later on tonight, maybe tomorrow.
For sure.
But the point is that, man, I think that there's so many things from Scripture that can be so helpful in, because what's going on in our season isn't just limited to the election.
Correct.
There's all kinds of things. We were talking about even on the weekend, inflation, East Coast, West Coast, floods, fires, all that stuff. And even what is going on in our own family, in our own personal life, for many of us, it can really feel like the whole world seems to be shaking.
Exactly.
And on the one hand, that's what's so powerful. Like Haggai's comment, he says it twice about the heavens and everything in the heavens and earth will shake. But I feel like the author of Hebrews really makes sense of it, right? It's like, it's one thing to go, oh, well, that's going to happen. But when he comes back and he quotes it, I was like, oh, man, that's super helpful to be able to have that understanding of what it, what actually is going to be shaken. What's that going to mean?
Right, right.
And so, yeah, I'm looking this as far as I preach from a different Bible and a different set of notes.
I
have to find it. But when he talks about this idea, here it is in chapter 12, verse 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he's promised once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. And that's the Haggai quote. But then he says, then the words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. Mm-hmm. That is created things like everything you can see. Like right. That's a big deal. So that what cannot be shaken may remain.
Right.
And so I feel like what, and this has been our hope to be intentional this year, why we went through 1 Peter when we did, was to try to lay a foundation so we'd be better prepared for this season.
Correct.
And that foundation was, let's keep being mindful of whose we are. Let's keep being mindful of our identity as though we are in the world, we're not of it.
Exactly.
And we are elect exiles, and our citizenship is in heaven. And we want to keep leaning into that reality. And I think, you know, Carlos, over the years, there have been generations of people, not just in America, but all over the world, who have been through, Christians who have been through such intense suffering. That was the thing that got them through the day and looking forward, like, I got to do this again tomorrow, is the hope of heaven.
Right.
And that sure foundation of, I do belong to the Lord. I am in his, I'm a citizen in his kingdom. I have a child in his family, a son or a daughter. And no matter how bad this is today,
I know
that's coming.
Exactly.
And I just feel like we've lived in such a world and a culture and a society. There's so many comfortable things about our lives.
Right.
We aren't really pushed to think that way very often, or it's not like the only thing I'm holding on to, because we've got 36 other good things in our lives that seem to make us feel complacent and definitely like, don't rid me of my comfort. You know, I'm gonna fight for that. And it's like, wait a second. I was never called to be comfortable.
Exactly.
I'm a citizen in a kingdom that won't shake. And so that's what I just feel like. And I do love. And it's, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10 where Paul writes and he says, hey, we take every thought captive. We don't battle with ways the world battles.
Sure.
We're in a spiritual domain.
Right.
And we battle with spiritual weapons. And then he goes on to say, make every effort to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ.
Right.
And that's what I'm just going to encourage myself with, encourage sure. you with, encourage everyone watching in these next days. Let's keep not just letting our minds dwell on the things that cause such great anxiety and hopelessness,
right.
but in reverse, I want to dwell upon the things that give me hope, the things that give me courage to face whatever challenges we're in today.
Yeah.
That's who I, whose I really am and who I will be ultimately in this kingdom so I can get through today.
Exactly.
Like, I love that great line, because he lives, right?
Right.
I can face tomorrow.
Exactly.
It all is rooted back again in the resurrected Jesus, who has made a promise to resurrect his people.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I, you know, to me, that idea of like, I get this a lot. Why does God do things the way he does them, right? Like, we're stuck in this finite mind that thinks, you know, like, man, if I had it my way, you know, I would do things like that, you know, or I would do things like this. And you know, and I tell people right now, like, you know, and I know it's difficult in for some people because, you know, we're very spoiled as far as, you know, where we live and the freedoms that we have and things like that. And so I think, you know, we're very sensitive to that, to those things. And I've had to remind even not only just students that I talk with and I counsel with that are, you know, dealing, you know, it's like this generational thing. They're passionate about what God is doing and they're excited. But then they also see the pressures that their parents are kind of struggling with in this season and remaining focused on God. And obviously it's a little bit easier for them because they're not the one writing the checks
sure.
and, you know, doing all the things and, you know,
the responsibility.
Is a little bit different. And, you know, I hear the frustrations of parents as well. And I always try to remind them, like, you know, we're in a season of highly inconvenienced, not necessarily persecuted. And I think sometimes it's hard to separate the two, right? We always tend to say, you know, oh, this is a persecution that's coming and, you know, looking for the boogeyman. And when I think sometimes it's like, you know, we need to rest in the fact that, you know, the worldview that we should have is this focus on missional, like, God, you brought us here to preach your gospel message and to remain, you know, in hope and in focus of that.
Absolutely.
Really.
And I'm so grateful, as you said that, Carlos, I'm so grateful for a church where that's our mission, right? We're preparing generations of world changers. We're preparing people to engage the gospel in relationships that God has supernaturally and strategically placed them in. And what a cool thing that if we just keep pushing into what, because some churches I almost feel like would be in an awkward position where you want to remind people of that, but it's almost not the main thing. It's
right.
way back here somewhere. It's a thing, but it's not the thing. And for us, I just love that it's the thing.
Right.
Like, we as a church, and we need to keep reminding ourselves,
yes.
like you're doing with students and with their parents. But just the whole point is at least we're not making a stretch to go, well, I think this is important. It's like, no, we say it's important all the time. And we want to be those people who are like, God, we know why we're here. We know whose we are. Let's live out of that.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. And so, yeah, so this for me, you know, going through the Minor Prophet series has just been, you know, very refreshing and really interesting to see how you guys, you know, have taught it. It's just been a blessing and things like that. And you know, and just for this season, you know, if you had some necessarily, you know, words for the people that are out there right now that are, you know, obviously going through, you know, obviously the shaking and the, you know, and everything and all the worries and everything. You know, what would you leave somebody with, you know, overall, like the overall theme you would like just to remind them of, like, man, God is faithful. God is good. You know, what is something you would kind of just say, I think this is what I would want to tell you this week if I could.
Yeah.
Inspire
yeah.
everything.
No, great question. I think for me, it goes back to, let's be the people of Haggai, meaning let's be the people that when we hear the truth of God's word, let's not put it on a strata where it's like, well, I'll accept that, or I think that's encouraging, or I like that, but these others I know. And again, it's not so much about any particular preacher's words, it's the words of God. And if we don't want to be selective with those, we don't want to say some matter more than others. We want to go, man, God, you've given us your word. You've given us a direction of where we go. You've given us clarity of who you are, who you've called us to be. Let's go get that.
Right.
And there's something powerful that is a weird thing. I tell people all the time, probably my favorite Old Testament book is the book of Deuteronomy, which like makes no sense.
Right.
It is a retelling of the law of Exodus. Like, why would that be?
Right.
But it's what we've alluded to. This generation on the eastern shores of the Jordan, looking to Canaan, but not in it yet.
Right.
They were on the cusp. They're on the precipice. Like, Moses telling them, your parents, and this is powerful
right.
when you think through a student ministry lens,
yeah.
your parents were faithless. They got to the edge of the promised land. And interestingly, they were afraid for you.
Right.
That was one of the biggest arguments. We're going to go in this land. They're going to destroy our kids.
Mm.
And instead, God judged them for their faithlessness, that they wouldn't trust him and move forward, and that God would care for their kids.
Yeah.
So now it's those kids, 40 years later, on the eastern shores of the Jordan, and they're the generation that is going to make good on this.
Yeah.
I love that. They're the generation who's going to believe God for God-sized things.
Yeah.
They're the generation who's going to say, yeah, our parents were afraid, but we've learned to trust you in the desert. We've tested you, tried you, because we've had to lean on you. It hasn't always been pretty, but we're ready. Go lead us. And Moses is going to be replaced with Joshua. Let's go get it.
Mm.
And man, just to see their obedience and to see them rally. And that's what's beautiful. There aren't tons of examples all the time. There are others.
Sure.
But Haggai's another one of them. Yeah. Hey, whoa, God, we're misaligned in our priorities. We're making it about us when we really always should be making it about you.
Right.
We repent. Let's get the hammers. Yeah. Let's go get the wood. Let's build this thing.
Right.
And that's what I just love. And I just want to keep seeing that in my own life personally.
Sure.
I want to see that in our church.
Yeah.
I want to see us go, God, here's a new challenge that we're facing, but you're with us. Like, great words, right? I will be with you.
Right.
He says twice in Haggai. And so let's, with the confidence of the fact of who we are, what God's called us into, let's go get it.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm looking forward to, even in this season. We mentioned it on the weekend, when the world back to shaking, people who don't have a relationship with the Lord, there's great reason to be freaking out.
Yeah,
for sure. Because my only hope can be in things that I can see that are going to be shaken, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a doom situation. That's bad news. But for us who have this rock solid assurance and hope in the gospel and in our future and with the Lord forever, man, we can shine like stars in the night when there's a lot of confusion and fear. We go, well, there's a lot that's maybe shaking, but number one, we knew it would. And number two, but we're part of a kingdom that isn't shaking.
Exactly.
So let's be about that.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, like I said, from my perspective, I get to see student, you know, in student ministries. I see God doing that. And I love how you referenced how, you know, you said that this is only one of two really, you know, heavy examples, the other being Jonah, where people listened to the prophet's message and actually responded. And I get, you know, on Wednesdays or, you know, sometimes weekend services, I get to see students being faithful in that, like, you know, being reminded to be faithful in that. And I've seen you at our student events, and I'm sure you share that with us. And even just being at the men's retreat this past weekend, seeing different people there and hearing them want to respond to the call of God. Like, there's this generation that is hungering, and they're fighting for it, and they want revival in their schools, in their homes, in their communities. And I think to myself, like, you know, how cool, you know, when I view it, that we get to play a part in that, right? And you know, you can imagine, even though Haggai, I'm sure to some extent was probably, you know, looking at the past temple, what his mindset must have been like as it's slowly rebuilding now, like, right, as he's watching people listen to his call to want to go out and rebuild the kingdom, and, you know, watching people be faithful in that, how rewarding that must be like. And I wonder, from your perspective, when you come to our student events and you do share that, like, what are your thoughts on that when you view for our young students that are maybe watching?
No, that's so good. Yeah, I do, man. I'm so pumped about the work of God and what he's doing in young lives. And just to see, like, I loved it. I got to be at We Run the Night to kick off the school year, and a student-led event.
Yeah.
I mean, just in of itself, kudos to you guys. That takes a lot of, like, trust and a lot of work to develop students so they're ready to do that. But they just did such a great job, and their love for the Lord was so obvious. And like all of us, right, nobody is only up and to the right. There are areas, like, there's always, like, blind spots, and it's easy to see those in you.
Right.
It's hard to see them in me, right, because that's the whole nature of them. But man, I could, it was so palpable of students that had not only a love for the Lord, but a desire to see others, to see their friends, see their family love the Lord too. And it's not cul-de-sacking with them, which I love, because I just know in seasons in my life before I came to HGC, I was pretty glad I knew the Lord, pretty glad that my family did, but oh well, I don't know. I don't know how to help other people. And it's like, whoa, you don't even know why you're here?
Right.
Like, it's great that we've responded to the gospel, but now how do we get to be a source of Jesus influence? And I just see students, like you said, whether it be a youth group, whether it be on their campuses, whether it be in other areas of the church where they serve, like a lot of students are serving. What God's doing with young adults right now is like off the chain of just all this great energy and growth and excitement to know the Lord more. Studying books like 1 Samuel, like these are great Old Testament books that you just, number one, we don't even remember what great narratives they are. But number two, you wouldn't necessarily think we're going to do this great thing and just see all kinds of growth because we're studying a book in the Old Testament, verse by verse, line by line. Mm. That's powerful. Right. So I just feel like our younger generations at HDC right now are doing exemplary things, examples to the rest of our body,
right,
to say, let's go be those people.
Yeah.
You know, let's follow the Lord and let's see him do great things in our time. Like for you and me being in leadership roles in this season, what a great time to be alive.
Yeah.
The challenges are significant, but sure, man, to watch people, like you said, what was Haggai thinking and feeling when he saw people take this direction from the Lord, was like, well, not what a lot of other minor prophets felt.
Right.
It's like, wow, they're actually doing what God said. This is great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think there's something to be really grateful for that.
For sure. For sure. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here on Tangible Takeaways with Pastor Todd as we walk through the book of Haggai.